Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and I'm joined this evening by two good friends, professional handlers Randy Benz and Luke Bagenstas. And we're going to have an interesting conversation tonight. We're going to talk about social media, and we're going to talk about the pros and the cons, and we're going to talk about, is it good for dog shows? Is it bad for dog shows? Where's the line? Luke is going to take sort of the pro social media, that it has benefits. Randy, who is not a social media consumer, is going to take the con position, and I'm super excited, you guys. It's going to be fun. Introduce yourself, boys. Quick, 411, Randy.
Randy Benz.
Tell me a little bit about how you started in dogs.
I was told I couldn't do it, and I wanted to prove everybody wrong.
Good job. Luke?
Luke Bagenstas. I was born into it, born and raised. And parents raised Old English sheepdogs and Afghans, and then after they divorced, my dad remarried my wonderful stepmom, Dinah, who's currently our PHA president, and started working for them and followed in footsteps.
Excellent. So you guys have diverse experience, right? You bring a lot of different years. Randy, you didn't come from a dog family, correct?
Nope, first one in my family.
Okay. And so in your years, Randy, you've got a few more years probably in it.
It kind of makes me sound old.
Yeah. But what changes have you seen? We'll start with you, Randy, because you're a little bit different position. What changes have you seen in the sport since the advent of social media in the last, say, 10 years?
You don't have to have a great dog to win anymore. You know, it used to be people had to work really hard, get their dogs in shape, and, you know, you can throw an ad in, but by the time that ad came out, you're already seeing 10 or 20 more judges at 10 or 20 more shows. Now, all you have to do is take a picture, put it online, tag the judges that you want to see your picture, and it's gone out there. You just finished doing all your advertising for a month.
I can't say that you don't have to have a great dog to win, but I think there's a lot of truth to people being able to find a way to promote their dog with social media. Luke, your thoughts?
On social media as advertising? Mm. I think a lot of people use it as advertising. I think a lot of people use it as advertising and claim they don't advertise, which is not true. It is probably the most used advertising vehicle that we have right now, I would say. It's definitely used.
Okay, so
as advertising.
Right.
And like Randy said, quick advertising. You can get it out there quickly.
Right. So in the last 10 years, what changes specifically can you directly attribute to social media in addition to the faster advertising?
I think that it has made issues that pop up, whether they be real or imagined, much more quickly, I don't know how to word it, but more
dispersed.
And quickly recognized, makes people more hysterical about things. If something comes up, or if someone thinks something comes up, they put it out there. They immediately say, I'm not naming names, but so-and-so does this, so-and-so said da-da-da-da-da. And passive-aggressively, people are attacking people nonstop. It really breeds into the, we're like high school mentality that people talk about at the dog shows. I see a lot more of that, infighting, if you will, because people can go at each other quickly and hide behind their keyboard.
Right. Right, the hiding behind their keyboard.
Instead of just walking up if you have a problem and saying something to someone's face.
Right.
I have to agree with him because it makes a bunch of cowardly people brave. You know, it's just the same as pouring alcohol into somebody. They're brave enough behind the keyboard to say whatever they want, but then you see them at the show and they act like they haven't seen you or they haven't said anything. There's all the apologizing because, oh, that's not what I meant. But before this, people had to actually communicate. They had to talk to each other. And you can't be on the West Coast talking about somebody on the East Coast and they hear about it. So it was all just let go. But now it doesn't matter what anybody does. You can hear about it in 10 seconds and you got one person that's on Facebook or whatever social media they choose, Snapchat or whatever it is, and they're sending it to somebody 1,500 miles away to get a fight started. So when that person flies back to that area, now he has this group of people that are mad at him for saying this or mad at her for doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, it's cowardly because I don't know why or when it just makes it too lazy anymore. You know, makes the people, you know, like I said, if you can put a pretty picture together, which any of us can do, put it in
Photoshop
a magazine.
Photoshop is amazing.
Put it in a magazine. Some judges will see it, some won't. You do it on social media, you tag the people that you want to see it. They all get it. And you're using it, like I said, people complain about cheating. People complain about handlers talking to judges and doing all of this or, you know, hanging out with a judge or going over and visiting. But they don't complain about the fact that they're the same ones that go online, look at all the judges that they friend. And if you look on anybody that's on there, they try to friend as many judges as they can so they can go on there and tag it out. Everybody has the article or whatever they're sending, knows what winning they've done, and it makes them win more. And it's the same people that may not have been winning 8-10 years ago, but all of a sudden they're superstars.
Interesting. Okay. Luke?
I don't know really what to say about all that. I don't know if people necessarily tag as many people as Randy thinks.
I would agree with that.
As far as
judges.
It's
actually really frowned on. AKC is very strongly opposed to it.
AKC tries to. Yeah, I still see it.
Yep.
Not as much. I probably shouldn't even go here, but not as much from the handlers, more the owners that will do it, the owner handlers. They have no problem taking the people in their breed.
Or the dog that the handler
is
showing.
Yeah, I don't notice it with the handlers as much as owner handlers or, like you said, breeders or owners of the dog tagging judges that they're friends with. It's usually people in their own breed. It's usually breeder, owner, specialty wins, things of that nature, more than some of the others. I personally, if I put anything up with my dogs, I usually don't even name the judges. I just refrain from it altogether for that simple reason.
I'm pretty much the same way.
Yeah.
But I have to say that Luke actually, you know, is one of the few that when he puts up a picture, it's not a picture with a judge. It's not a picture with anybody else. It's him and his dog and his kids. Okay, that's using as a positive. But when you turn around and you're starting to find the judges that you think I'll be seeing next week or I'll be seeing them in 2 weeks, and so you tag them purposely so they can see what you've done, I think that's ridiculous. And judges always say it doesn't influence them, but, you know, they're just as human as anybody else.
Crest versus Colgate. Advertising works.
As far as social media is advertising, I don't have as much of a problem with it as long as people admit that what they're doing. I don't like the people that will sit here and say my dog's number one this and that and has never been advertised when you put a picture up every day or every week or you talk about your never advertised dog every week. Sorry, it's advertised. It's a form of advertising, but it's advertised. The more of the problem I see with social media is, like we had talked about earlier, with social issues in our sport where people are attacking other people in their breeds. Passive-aggressively, not saying
or
names.
Openly aggressively.
Yeah, generally you don't see names, though. People do hide behind the keyboard. Or openly. But people, more of that kind of infighting where it makes us all look in a bad light. Everybody. Whether you're involved with that or not. That's more of the issue I see with the sport.
But me never being on any social media, I know stuff just when I get to the show. I have no idea what anybody's doing. I get to a show and somebody runs over and says, have you seen this on Facebook? And I always say, how would I see that on Facebook? I never owned Facebook, had it. I don't have anything. I'm in the stone
age. Do you even have a smartphone yet, Randy?
Well, my phone is smart. I might not be, but, you know, I do have a smartphone. But, I mean, I know how to send a text. I learned that last year.
Good job.
But I know how to make a phone call and I take pictures. That's what mine's used for, but
not very,
you know,
quickly.
Not quickly. I can't type, but the fact is, I look at it and I get to a show. I don't know this person that got in trouble in the Midwest. I don't
Everyone
know this person
does.
That happened this. I don't know this, but all of a sudden somebody walks up to me at a show and they can read to me everything that's happening. And I'm sitting there thinking, you haven't even left our area. How do you know all this stuff? And they have every rumor there is on whatever
so the
social
who's
media
zooming who that used to be under the table and whispered ringside is now
everything's in the open.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
Okay. So let's spin it around a little bit. What's a positive? Luke, what's a positive use of social media? Where do you see social media being improving the sport?
I think it allows you to, as a breeder, widen your gene pool. You're in more contact with other people. I have a lot of miniature bull terrier people that I'm communicating with that are in foreign countries, other countries.
Right.
It really opens up that way. It allows us to reach out to other dogs, people.
People that you
grow.
Never would have had an opportunity to.
Completely. It allows us to open our minds if we're willing and learn from people not in our circle. Allows us to reach out and grow. Mm-hmm. That's right. The main thing I see.
Right. Randy, thoughts of things that you can think of that are positive?
I don't disagree with Luke on this issue because, like I said, I don't have social media. He does. So he knows what good it does for him or the people that he's around. But I see absolutely zero positive with social media. I mean, we did well without it before. And while it was ruining everybody else's lives in other sports and other politics and everything else, we were just fine. We, you know, we were a close-knit family that if something happened, we knew where that person was. We, you know, knew how to help them. They had organizations that would step in and help people with dogs and everything. But since this, you do not have near as much camaraderie. You don't have people on each other's side. You know, it used to be no matter how much you disliked a human being or a dog person, if you see them on the side of the road, you stopped and picked them up. Now with all the catty stuff going on, you don't see that anymore. All you see is, oh, I hate this person, I hate this person. I like to go to the shows, not hear anything about it. When I get home, our one standing rule is we will not talk dogs. You know, we have a life outside of that. And most other people had that same thing. But now people go home, they get on Facebook, they get on, you know, their iPad, and they start going through all this crap. And it's like it never leaves. You know, you have very few handlers that actually have a family that they love to go home to. And it's no longer dog stuff. Let's go home. And I have 2-3 kids that I'm taking care of. You know, I have a wife that goes to half the shows, but not the other half. And I want to spend some time doing real stuff. And going on vacation and going on this. But now social media seems to be that vacation. Seems to be that where I'm going.
Right. Luke, you manage family life.
Yeah.
Busy family life.
Yeah, very.
Two kids.
Yeah.
And you're growing a garden.
Oh, yeah, always.
Is that your respite from Facebook?
I honestly don't get on Facebook much. Rowan does. I don't. I'm kind of narcissistic with my Facebook. If I'm tagged in something, I'm going to look at it. It's the truth. If it comes up. Otherwise, I don't see anything unless someone, like Randy says, hey, have you seen this? Then I might go look. So I don't get on there as much as a lot of people, but I do have it.
I think Randy makes a really, really good point talking about the social media absorbing so much of our extra time. I mean, as handlers, we're very busy. As dog people, whether you're an owner handler, professional handler, part-time or not, this takes a lot of your time. So you have limited free time. Mm-hmm. And so when you put that free time into scrolling through the news feed, and right. It's one disaster after another, your feeling then, Randy, is that this is adding to the problems that we're seeing and increasing.
Ramps them up by exponentially, because Lisa used to be on Facebook. And she had no idea how many hours she was spending on Facebook. Well, she decided it was just not worth it because not that I was nagging or griping.
Never, Randy.
I don't do
never.
That. What I do is I suggest things. But
okay, marital dilemmas not to be discussed.
But when I talked to her about it and I said, you have no idea how much time you're wasting on that. And she would think that she was on it for 30 minutes and it would be 3 hours because I watched a movie, ate dinner, did other stuff. And she's sitting there on Facebook looking at stuff.
Interesting.
Well, I told her, try to go without it for 1 week. And I says, just don't do it for 1 week. She found out that she spent more time talking to the kids. She spent more time watching movies and stuff that she had never seen that I'd watched with her when we were sitting there, but she didn't remember them. She realized that, you know, she had more time to call and talk to her mom and dad, her sisters. And so she was feeling that 4 or 5 hours a night that she'd be on Facebook. And that's conservative for some people because I see them today at the dog show. You see them walking around. They have their phones out the entire time. They can't get away from it. And it's like a pacifier. You know, if I don't have this, if I leave my phone over at my setup, I got to go back. Or, you know, they'll have a kid working for them. Oh, go get my phone. It's not to get their phone that they need at that minute, but they have to be connected to all of the garbage that's out there. Because you never really look a lot on Facebook and see positives. You never look and see people going, oh, guess what? Luke did a great job with his family. Like when we went to Yukonuba, I went to SeaWorld for the first time I've ever been to SeaWorld.
Took George with you, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we took George. But we went to SeaWorld because Luke and Rowan invited us to go along with them. And I thought, well, I want to go and see how they do things, you know, because he goes to a lot of shows. He makes me look like a part-timer. So we go to SeaWorld. He didn't have his phone with him. Well, he had it with him, but he never seen his phone. I'd never seen him with his phone. We walked around. We experienced SeaWorld. He was a father then. It made me respect him more because he's just, it was all about the kids. You know, he took George.
My little guy.
Yeah, your young guy. Am George and I, we rode roller coasters until we were sick.
Yeah, we killed them roller coasters.
And, you know, right. George and I just walked around. We just had a good time. There was no Facebook. There was nothing. It was three people connecting. We went to watch the killer whales and all that. Right. And we actually had a good time. Nobody had to have social media interrupt it. And I looked at it and I thought, how come everybody's not doing this? You know, it's a vacation without all the crap that goes with knowing what's going on. I would rather not know.
In my defense, I was working on Pure Dog Talk. So let's offer up, I mean, this is a great suggestion, Randy, that you're making. Let's put it out there. Throw down. Give them a challenge. Put it out there to the listeners. What's your challenge?
How about this? Everybody go 1 week without social media. Just 1 week. And log in how much time you're not spending on that social media when you would be. And see how much time you have for real life rather than, you know, the pretend life behind a keyboard or sitting on the couch trying to watch a movie with your phone in your lap or sitting at dinner with your phone on the table waiting for somebody to tag you on.
Okay, can I just break in here? Going out to dinner with dog show people and you sit down at the dinner table and 10 people whip out their phones and tag each other in the photos you're taking, but you're not talking to each other. Okay, here's my challenge, listeners. Make it a rule. When you go out to dinner at the dog show, phones face down. First person to pick up their phone pays the bill.
You can't send pictures of your food to everyone then.
Luke. There's my throwdown.
I agree
with
you.
What will people do without taking photos of their food?
I'm just putting it out there.
I never taken a picture of my food.
I'm agreeing with her because I guess...
You know, I have, but only at home.
I've never taken a picture of my food and put it out there for people.
I guess Facebook people have to take baby steps. So, yeah, try it without going on social media for one dinner. We have a standing rule. Anybody we go to dinner with, no phones.
Yep. That is actually the rule at my dinners. If you pick up your phone, you pay the bill.
Plus, you can't talk dogs because there's something out there more
important
than that.
I like that. That's good. Luke, what's your positive... What's your suggestion? Come on. Come on. I'm putting it out there. Give me a suggestion. What are we putting out there? How are we going to help the positive light of this sport?
Well, Luke is going to go on Facebook to tell.
I'm going to tag you in Facebook on this just so you know, Luke.
Yeah, it's fine. A positive thing that everyone should do. I think they should just be positive. Just be positive. Don't write about mass hysteria. Don't be hysterical about everything. Don't call everyone out all the time. Don't cause drama all the time. Just be responsible for yourself.
Happy to
treat everyone with respect and you'll get respect. Yeah, don't try and sell. Just be you.
I have to agree with Luke on this because how come they can't use Facebook for only good news?
Yeah.
No bad news. I mean, if you want to go on Facebook, go on and say something positive about the guy's dog that beat you. Go on and talk about
something there.
Yeah, yeah, don't
trash. There's a challenge right there. Do that one again. Say it again.
I don't even remember what I said.
Say good things about the people that beat you.
I love that.
Not just about your own
stuff.
That
is an excellent. I challenge all of you listeners. Perfect, Randy. Everybody out there, tomorrow, after you listen to this, go on Facebook and say a great thing about the dog that beat you.
And I'll say this. The reason I learned that is because when I was working for Nancy McWright, she told me one thing that sticks with me still today. She goes, when you lose, think of two good things about the dog in front of you and two good things about the dog behind you. And then you can think of two good things about your dog.
I like that.
That's a good one.
Excellent. Okay, well, one of the things that I've watched that I've thought has been very interesting, there's been a couple people in the fancy. Amy Booth has a particular thing that she's doing that's very adorable. She asks a question, and really a very positive question, and invokes people to comment. I have been really impressed with that. Diana Hahn does that, yeah. Yep. A couple other people that I've seen do similar kinds of things. So any other advice to people going forward in terms of how to avoid the plague of social media?
I don't know how social media works per se, but is there a
you
delete
think it,
button?
You write it. You think it, you write it, people read it. That's pretty much it. That's how it works.
I always think of it this way. If it's something you wouldn't say to some 250-pound guy in his face,
that's the problem.
In a bar,
why would you write it
that's
down?
That's the problem.
And say it to 250 million.
Yeah.
But I love the positive ideas. I love the great suggestions, the no phones at dinner rule, and maybe try put down Facebook for a week and see how that works.
How about this? Maybe let's play out our private stuff in private like we used to, because back then, people were actually real people. You know, they picked a group of people that they like, people that were like family to them. And they'd come and say, hey, you know what? I'm not feeling good. This is going to happen. Can you show my dogs for the next couple of weeks? I've seen people do that quietly, mm-hmm. and you've seen people out there showing their dogs, and you, most people would say, why are you showing so-and-so's dog? Oh, they just asked me if I could cover it this weekend. And you would let that handler that you're covering the dog for receive the money. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's out there and they're covering mm-hmm. dogs. They want to be paid for it. It's nowhere near, you know, like if either one of you guys ask me to show a dog for you, I show up, I show the dog, we're good.
Yeah.
You know, you don't owe me anything because I know you would do the same thing. Yeah. And I know Laura would do the same thing. Luke would do the same thing.
Well, and I think that's actually, I mean, it's kind of a segue, but I think it's really one of the greatest things that I find about professional handlers, PHA members, AKC registered handler members, any solid professional handler, there is a system whereby we help each other no matter what, whether it's a conflict, whether it's, I can remember people who were very, very ill and we did exactly that. We showed their dogs and sent them the money.
We went through it a year ago with my dad. Same exact thing.
I know. And I think that is one of the great things about our family.
I'll tell you something interesting. Like Luke was just saying about he went through that with his father. Mm. You know how I found out about it? Through Luke. I seen his dad the week before, and his dad never said one word about it.
Yeah.
And he was out there showing dogs. I mean, he's not a young man, but he was out there, you know, he's running as hard as he could, taking care of everything. And there wasn't a person at the show that knew, except for his son. And Luke and I have become so close over the years. Luke confided in me, and I didn't run around and tell everybody, oh, this is going on.
That's right. More old school.
It's very
old. You do for
school.
Self. You right. work hard. You earn right. what you get. You right. don't cry. You right. just have some pride in yourself.
And you have friends.
Have some self-respect.
Right. You have friends.
Pride
you
and self-respect.
And at the minute that Luke called me, him and Rowan had to be there with mm-hmm. his father. Mm-hmm. They called, and they had to pass by my house, so they dropped the kids off so the kids would be mm-hmm. taken care of. And they were able to go out and do whatever they needed to do and take right. care of his dad. That's because they don't push anything. They don't pimp anything. They have friends. They didn't have to bring the kids to us. They had 10 other families they could have dropped the kids off with. I mean, that's because...
It's because you were handy.
Yeah, I was there. I was the closest one.
Yeah, they like their pudding.
Okay, so I think that the big part, what I'm hearing and what I know to be true, but what you guys are talking about is that this is family. And yeah. and we can treat it as family. It's slightly dysfunctional.
Sure. Which family isn't?
But sure. family. Or we can choose to ramp up the aggravation and that perhaps part of that is in social media. So,
well, on a positive take, you know, like I said, I don't have social media, so I don't hear as much. I mean, I think it's a great positive for me because I don't hear as much of the stuff that's going on. And so half the time when somebody walks up to me and says, did you know this? No, I didn't know that. You know, most of the time I'm just like, I don't care. You know, I've got stuff to do. We're going to eat dinner. Leave me alone. And that way I don't have to make a decision on who to like or who to dislike because of somebody else's opinion of that person. And I think if most people just, when somebody walks up to you to tell you about somebody else, something negative about somebody else, if you just realize this one thing, if you come to me saying negative stuff about Laura, I know you're going to go to Luke and say negative stuff about me. And so if you can trust that person and trust what they say, then you know that they're going to go to the next person, and that next person's going to trust what they say. And so if they tell me that Laura killed two guys in a bar fight, actually what it was is that Laura went to a bar and spilled a drink on some guy, the next thing they're going to say about me is, well, Randy was there when Laura killed that guy. You know,
right.
so,
right.
you know, it just,
right.
it never ends. And if everybody right. just shuts it down, the minute somebody walks up to you with negativity, if you walk away, after a little while, they'll get the hint. Let's not talk about that.
Let's talk about pretty flowers.
Let's talk about Luke winning the, you know, we have a contest who gets the hat. Let's talk about the fact that every time you get a best in show, somebody gets the hat and that Luke's had it over a year.
Yeah.
You know, that's our positive. You know, that's what we good. Talk about.
Right. Okay. Well, you guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. And I really hope that our listeners get some great positive ideas.
Well, one question.
Yes, dear.
Is this social media?
It's going to get shared all the heck over social media, which is my positive spin.
So if this is social media, I can say this. This is a positive social media because it gives everybody a chance to hear what's really going on out there. Instead of living in your own little bubble, you get to see what the big bubble looks like. And the fact is, everybody's going to have a different opinion. But, you know, I think this is a positive because, like I said, you get to see both sides of it. Mm-hmm. And I've never had social media, so I can only speak from my side of it. Mm-hmm. And the people that have it, basically, they can hear what Luke is saying about it.
Well, I think that, in my opinion, social media has some great, great benefits. And one of them is to share the podcast and let people know what's out there and opportunities to learn from people that have been there, done that. So thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.